and a New Testament reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Let's pray. Lord, as the psalmist said so many years ago, our heart's desire is to be in your house, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We ask, Father, that you would assure us of that destination this morning. As we look at your word here in John chapter 14, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you like airports? I have always liked airports. I don't know if it's the planes or the excitement. Everybody seems excited at an airport. There are people coming and going. Most everyone at an airport has either just returned from a trip or is about to leave on a trip. Or they're with somebody who's just returned from a trip or is about to leave on a trip. There's excitement at an airport. And so an airport is a place that I've always been able to sit for hours and just watch people. And if you do that, if you sit at an airport and watch people for any length of time, one thing that you're going to see a lot of is people saying goodbye to one another. And it's interesting as you watch that happening to note the different kinds of goodbyes that there are. There's the simple handshake goodbye. There's the, hey, thanks a lot for bringing me to the airport goodbye. And of course, there's the, have a great time on your trip goodbye. But once in a while, you'll see a goodbye that's much different than those. It's the, I don't know what I'm going to do without you goodbye. It's different than all the other ones. It's a different kind of goodbye. These are the goodbyes that are filled with tears and hugs. These are the goodbyes of people whom it seems have rarely been separated. They're the goodbyes of people who love one another. They're the goodbyes that go on and on. Because while both parties understand that they have to separate, neither one wants to. And that's what separates this kind of goodbye from all the other kinds of goodbyes. Neither party really wants it to happen. These goodbyes are troubling. These goodbyes are troubling because they've been made necessary by some kind of trouble or problem that has called for this separation to occur. Something has happened, or something needs to be taken care of. And for that to happen, for the problem to be resolved, they have to part. Even though they don't want to, they have to part so that the problem can be resolved. It's impossible for them to stay together. In 1991, when Kim and I had been married about a year and a half or so, and she was about 3 months pregnant with our first child, Jacob, I found out that I was going to be losing my job and then my health insurance. And we didn't know what to do. I needed a job, quick. And I needed health insurance. We didn't know what to do. Soon I found myself enlisting in the Air Force because it would meet both of our needs. It was a job, and I needed a job. And it had health insurance from day one. And we needed that too. I can still remember when she brought me to where I had to be to go. And we had to say goodbye. That was a, I don't know what I'm going to do without you goodbye. That was a, I don't want to be without you goodbye. It was a long goodbye. It was a goodbye that neither of us wanted to have happen. But we knew that it had to happen. If the trouble that we were facing was going to be addressed. As I said before, these goodbyes are troubling. And they're troubling in two ways. First, as I just said, they're troubling because there's some trouble or problem in this goodbye. That's the reason for it. But they're also troubling for another reason, and that is because these goodbyes are also filled with doubt. Because neither party really knows for sure if this separation is going to fix the problem or not. Neither Kim or I knew for sure that everything was going to be all right. We hoped that it would. The separation, the goodbye, was in order to bring that about, that it would be all right. But we didn't know for sure. And so in with the troubling aspect of the problem that needs to be addressed and having to say goodbye, even though you don't want to, there's the lingering doubt that even if you do say goodbye, that the problem might yet not be fixed. And so these kind of goodbyes are very troubling and difficult. When you see one of these goodbyes happening at the airport, it's very difficult not to watch. Because these scenes are so powerful. They're so moving and compelling to see people in this kind of goodbye. It's hard not to watch because it's a turning point in their lives. This is important. And such is the case here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is part of Jesus' farewell discourse, or his farewell discussion with his disciples. The Gospel of John gives his farewell discussion 5 chapters. Out of the 21 chapters in the whole Gospel of John, the goodbye gets 5 chapters, almost 25% of the whole story. This is a long goodbye. This is a troubling goodbye. It's an I don't want to be without you goodbye. It's a hard one. During Lent this year, for the next 4 Sundays, we're going to be looking at John chapter 14 and walking our way through it. And we're going to be watching this scene together, the scene of Jesus and his disciples saying goodbye, so that we might better understand their relationship, what lies at the heart of their relationship, and then be better able to understand what lies at the heart of our relationship with Jesus. And as our attention is drawn to this powerful scene of Jesus and his disciples saying goodbye, we find Jesus, the one who is leaving, attempting to reassure those whom he is leaving. He's trying to tell them that everything is going to be all right. And he's addressing himself to both of the troubling aspects of this kind of goodbye. First, he's addressing himself to the problem, to the reason that they have to separate. And then he addresses the whole idea and issue of doubt. Is this separation going to fix the problem or not? So first, Jesus identifies for his disciples the reason for the separation. And the reason is that they need a home. He writes in verses, or he says in verses 1 and 2, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. The problem, the reason for the separation, is that his disciples need a home. Now, at first, that seems like a strange reason to give to his disciples as to why he needed to leave them. But it really isn't. Even though his disciples were all natives of the place that they were standing, even though they knew the area very well, were very familiar with it, more and more, it wasn't home. More and more, even though they had established homes there, that place was less and less comforting, less and less like home, and more a strange and threatening place. Sometimes, even though you grow up in a place that you commonly call home, you grow apart from that place. Somehow you change. Something about you changes. And home just isn't home anymore. You don't feel the same way when you're there. You don't share the same things that the people in that home share. And so while you call it home, it's not. Because it doesn't have any of the characteristics of home, of a place where you feel comfort, a place where you feel as though everything else will be locked out and I'll be able to rest and have peace. The disciples had grown up in a world where they looked up to people like the Pharisees. And yet Jesus had called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside and full of death on the inside. He called them a brood of vipers. The disciples had grown up in a world where failure to follow the letter of the law brought judgment from the society around you. Jesus told them that every single one of them had broken the spirit of the law in infinite ways, and that all of that would bring judgment from God, but that through faith in Him, there was forgiveness, even for those who the Pharisees called sinners. There was forgiveness. They'd grown up thinking that the powerful ones were the ones with the weapons and the money. But Jesus didn't carry a weapon, and He didn't have a coin purse, and yet He walked on the water, He calmed the storm, He healed the sick, and He raised the dead. Things are different than they used to be. They had grown up in the same place where they were standing when He told them these words. But that place wasn't home anymore. Everything they thought was so familiar and comforting wasn't familiar and comforting anymore. It was strange. It was different. It was threatening. The culture that they had grown up in was shown to be in error. Jesus was teaching them the culture of the kingdom of God. And it was far different than what they grew up with. It was far different than what they called home. And far better. The very familiar place in which they were standing was suddenly foreign to them. They weren't at home any longer. And that's a very troubling feeling, not to feel at home. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel as though you're not at home? As though the things that you used to think were right suddenly don't seem right anymore. As though some of the things you always grew up thinking just aren't true. Do you ever feel as though because you are a Christian and you are discovering what it means to follow Him in every area of your life, that that decision, just by making that decision, it separates you from things that you used to call home. You simply don't fit in that world anymore. Something has changed. You've changed. God's changed you. I know many people who struggle with the feeling of not having a home, because the place that they used to call home isn't a place of comfort anymore. Now when they go to their family reunions, instead of feeling at home, instead of feeling welcomed, instead of feeling as though they are one of the family, they feel like a stranger. Because of their new life in Christ, they no longer have the same opinions about life and the things that are important as they used to have, and maybe the same ones that their family has still. And they feel like aliens in a foreign land. And when they see their old friends now, instead of being welcomed warmly, they're given the cold shoulder because they don't do the things that their friends do anymore. They've been changed. And so they don't go to the same places anymore. And they don't do the same things anymore. And because of that, they're not welcomed. They don't feel at home. They feel like an outcast, as though they had leprosy or something, because God has changed them. They're different than they used to be. Have you ever had those feelings? I think anyone who has honestly begun to follow Christ in every area of their life is bound to feel like that. Life with Christ has a way of separating you from your former way of life. And in a sense, you become a man or a woman without a home, because this world just isn't home anymore. It isn't a place where you feel comfort. It isn't a place where you feel peace or belonging, because the world is different. Those who follow Christ are different. He's made them different. That was the life of the disciples, and that is the life of anyone who follows Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39, Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And then the same thing we read earlier, but from a different passage, he says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus' disciples are those who have lost their lives. They've lost all that they used to call their life. And that means that in a very real and deep sense, that they have lost their home, the place where they belonged. And that's a very troubling feeling, because everyone needs a home. Everyone needs a place where they feel as though they belong, where everything is the way it should be, and they're protected. Everyone needs a home. And when you don't feel as though you have a home, a certain sense of panic sets in, because you know you need one. And if you don't feel as though you have a home in the world, you begin to doubt and wonder if you're doing the right thing. If following Jesus means that I am not going to be accepted anymore, do I still want to do it? If it means saying goodbye to what used to be my life, then what does that mean for my future? Those are real questions that everyone who follows Christ faces. Everyone does. Now, Jesus isn't saying that following him, that part of following him, is to actively turn against your mother or father or child. That's not what he's saying. The word that's translated turn, when he says, I have come to turn, that word is separate. I have come to separate a man from his father, a daughter from her mother, a daughter-in-law from her mother-in-law. Jesus has come to separate people from their old lives because he takes them from the world and brings them into the kingdom. And oftentimes that means separating them from the people and the places that they've called home. And that's especially true for new Christians. For some of us, that might not be the case because we grew up in a home where our parents truly loved the Lord and followed him with all of their heart and soul. But for many people, that is not true. Even people in the church. And can you imagine how that feels for a new Christian to not have a home? And that is why many new Christians, after they come to church for a while, and they begin to feel the burden of their past lives shunning them, that they turn around and they go back to their old life because there they find belonging. That's why when we have new Christians here, we have to do everything that we can to make sure that they know that when you are in Christ, you have a new family. Otherwise, they will be troubled, deeply troubled, because they won't feel as though they belong anywhere now. They didn't belong in their old life, and now they don't belong in their new life. So first of all, Jesus is saying to his disciples, those separated from the lives that they always thought of as home, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled that I am going away. I know you have attached yourself to me. And in many ways, I am your new home because you follow me and I teach you and I protect you. And I'm going away, but I don't want you to be troubled by that. Because the reason I'm going away is to give you a new home. A home like you've always longed for. A home where you will belong and everything will be right the way it's supposed to be. Jesus says to them, I have not taken you from the world in order to make you homeless, even though you will feel like that for a time. I have taken you from the world in order to give you a new home, a better home, a far better home. So Jesus calms their fears regarding the trouble of feeling like a stranger in your homeland by assuring them that he is going to prepare a place for them. And then Jesus gives them assurance regarding the second troubling aspect, and that is the doubt that is always in these kinds of goodbyes. He does that in verse 3, where he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. If Jesus goes to prepare a place for them, it's a sure thing. It's certain. It's definite. That is called a conditional sentence, if you want to know the official Greek designation. And what it means is, if one thing is true, then another thing is definitely true. If he goes, he will come. And we know he went. Do not let your hearts be troubled, For though this goodbye is troubling, and though you will feel as though you do not have a home for a time, you will. You will have a home. I am going to prepare a place for you. But where was he going? What does that mean? I'm going to prepare a place for you. He already told us that his father's house had many rooms. He certainly didn't have to come to earth to learn carpentry in order to go back to heaven to build more rooms for us. And I don't think that the windows needed washing or the beds needed making or... So what does it mean when he says, I am going to prepare a place for you? First of all, the word there in verse 2, where he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you, that's been added, okay? It simply says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Where was he going? He was going there. You need a home. And we have to be separated for a time in order that I might prepare a place for you in my Father's house. He was going to the cross to prepare a place for us, to give us a home. His work was done right there. His work isn't being done in heaven with a hammer and nails. His work was done right here with a hammer and nails. He prepared a place for us. That was why he had to leave his disciples behind. He had to go alone. He had to leave them behind because he was the only one who could do it. And so as we go along now for these next few weeks in this season of Lent, we need to remember that as we watch him go, as we trace his steps to a cross, that he is going there to prepare a place for us. That is love. That is the kind of love that there will be in our new home. It will be a home like none we've ever known, but a home like one we've always longed for, ever since we met him, ever since we began to feel as though this world that's infected with sin just isn't home anymore. That is the comfort of Lent. In a sense, it's a lot the same as what I was talking about earlier with Juke, that there's tremendous sadness here. There's tremendous sadness to say goodbye to Jesus and have to say goodbye to him because you know the problem is because of us. And that he's going to go to a place like that to make a place for us in a place we don't deserve to be. There's a lot of sadness there. Or there should be. But there's a lot of comfort there too. Because if he goes, he will come and take us to be with him at home. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you have done what needed to be done, solve our problem. And we ask, Lord, that we would feel that comfort this morning and throughout every day of the rest of our lives until you come to bring us to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.